Let me introduce you, George. I know everybody knows who you are, but I'm going to introduce you anyway. So first of all, George Fotoukas started studying homeopathy in South Africa all the way back in 1960, and then he continued in India at different homeopathic colleges, finally receiving a diploma from the Indian Institute of Homeopathy in 1966. He returned to Greece the following year and started practicing homeopathy and also teaching to a small group of medical doctors. The therapeutic successes of these doctors was so impressive that it actually attracted the attention of others, and as a result, the Athenian School of Homeopathic Medicine was established in 1970. George Fotoukas started teaching classical homeopathy in 1967, and in 1971, he established the first Greek homeopathic society, and a year later started the Greek journal known as Homeopathic Medicine. In 1976, he organized the first international homeopathic seminar in Greece, and since then he's been providing international seminars held all over the world, different locations, and attended by literally hundreds of health professionals from all over the globe. In 1994, Professor Fotoukas opened the International Academy for Classical Homeopathy on the Greek island of Alanisos. I've had the good fortune of having been there once. It's a beautiful place, and if you ever want to learn the highest level, highest caliber homeopathy with the greatest level of efficacy from probably the greatest modern master alive today, and also visit the beautiful island of Alanisos, I can't recommend that highly enough. It offers postgraduate training for health practitioners from really all over the world. He's currently the director of the Athens Center, which heads a team of over 30 doctors who practice homeopathy while they study under his supervision, and he's literally established homeopathy in Greece as a science which is respected by the medical profession, and this actually represents a model that we can look to for other nations around the planet. Professor Fotoukas has written a number of books, Medicine of the New Man, which was written for lay people, the very famous Science of Homeopathy, which is a standard textbook in most homeopathic schools today. It's actually been translated into over 20 languages, and it had literally a profound influence on the acceptance and practice of homeopathy worldwide. He has a fairly more recent book called New Models of Health, which was published in German and English in 1991. This makes a fundamental critique of conventional allopathic medicine and literally sets out a new paradigm for the science of medicine. He's been an international teacher of homeopathy for over 25 years, and he actually, in 1996, was awarded the Alternative Nobel Prize for his work in the field of classical homeopathy. From 1987 through 1991, in cooperation with the University of Namur, he worked on creating and programming a highly sophisticated computer system known as the Fotoukas Expert System, and that's still available today in Radar and Opus software. And at present, Professor Fotoukas is completing his homeopathic Materia Medica Viva, which is going to be in 16 volumes and includes contemporary knowledge and his own experience from more than 150,000 cases which were treated at the center in Athens. And then most recently, he's just published a new book, which I actually just have had the time to start reading last week, called The Levels of Health. It's absolutely a fantastic work. Really provides a depth of insight into how to follow up the case and continues really where the science of homeopathy left off. Now, for those of you who don't know, Professor Fotoukas will be doing a webcast presentation at this year's Joint American Homeopathy Conference, which is in Alexandria, Virginia, from April 8th through the 10th. If you haven't had a chance to sign up for this conference, I can't recommend it highly enough. You're going to get a chance to hear George present directly live from Greece and hear his wisdom about this new book called The Levels of Health. He'll also be doing a one-hour video keynote presentation at the American Veterinary Homeopathy Conference, which will be in Bethesda, Maryland, from May 4th through the 8th in Washington, and that's near the Washington, D.C. area. And also, for those of you who are interested in further studying with Professor Fotoukas, he does offer an excellent e-learning program. I've heard fantastic feedback about this internet-based learning module on homeopathy. If you want more information about that, you can actually visit the Whole Health Now website at www.wholehealthnow.com/Vitolkis. Okay, so with that introduction, George, thank you again so much. I know you're very busy writing books, seeing patients, teaching at your clinic and also online. We really appreciate having you join us today. George, are you still there?
Okay.
Okay. So,
yes. Please do all this long information about myself. I would say that the last interesting information is that one of the major universities in Greece, they have awarded me with the title of an honorary professor, and which is a very rare title for Greek people. And this is something which is very peculiar for a country which is so conservative as Greece, and it has created quite a lot of emotional reactions, especially from the friends of homeopathy in my country.
Fantastic. I'm sorry, go ahead, George.
I'm listening to your questions, what you would like me to...
Yes, George, I thought perhaps before I get into the... I wanted to ask you a lot about your new book and some of the ideas in it, but before, I thought perhaps you could just simply tell us a little bit about how you started in homeopathy. How did you first get involved?
Well, I got involved back in 59 by a problem which I had myself in my health. And it was very interesting that I got in touch with a polypharmacy homeopath in South Africa. A man who would prescribe only specialties and multiple remedies. And I did not actually like the idea, and I did not pay attention. Later on, I had an accident with my car, and the next day I did not have anything to do, and I asked to read a book about homeopathy. And a friend of mine suggested Berica's Materia Medica. I started reading it, and I'm still studying it. I'm still studying homeopathy. This is from the year 1960 already, and it's more than 50 years.
Fantastic. George, I'd like to talk a little bit about your new book, The Levels of Health. I know that's the subject of your presentation.
Yeah.
Could you tell us what motivated you to write this book?
You see, from the very, very beginning of my studies, I always wanted to know why certain things were happening concerning health and disease. I was having a very inquiring mind, and I did not accept easily the explanations, the usual explanations. So one of my first observations in homeopathy was that certain cases were immediately responding with a very full and satisfactory degree to the homeopathic remedy. Some other cases, they were needing a series of remedies. People will come back with somewhat different symptomatology, etc., and I would follow them for 3, 4, 5 years before I could bring them around. And this was a big question for me. Why these organisms were so weak as not to be able to present a clear picture from the very beginning? Also, it was interesting for me that especially with severe cases like cancer, systemic diseases, etc., sometimes the success was immediate and was very fulfilling, very satisfying. In some other cases, I could see that I needed many more remedies in the process in order to complete a cure. All this, together with a lot of other observations, for instance, that remedies had an essential feature, each one very peculiar to itself. And then, as you know, I wrote about the essences of Materia Medica, and from that point onwards, a lot of people have devised a lot of ideas that came out later on. So this this kind of inquiring mind which I have did not allow me to accept things as they were at during that time on in the 60s. In the 60s, the general practice of homeopathy was with polypharmacies and specialties. And I, by studying Kant mostly and Hahnemann, I found out that actually the remedy that could bring about a real cure was only one at a specific time. There were no two or three remedies together that they could bring about the best possible result. There was only one remedy. That I called later on classical homeopathy. I was the first one to talk about classical homeopathy. Classical homeopathy is an advance, really, towards what was happening in the older times, where people were having hazy ideas about homeopathy. They were not clear at all what was happening. Some people were claiming we cure cancer. Some others, they were making big claims, etc. And there was, for me, there was a scenery full of confusions. So I was trying to put an order into that kind of confusion. For instance, I was treating a case of a deep indigenous depression. And after 6 months or a year, the patient was going into states of extreme irritability or sensitivities or easily offended, etc. From such examples, I'm just giving very fast, very, very short examples, of course. From such examples, I found out the hierarchy, that there was a hierarchy, not only on the physical body, where the brain is more important than the heart, and the heart is more important than the lungs, and the lungs more important, etc. There was a hierarchy as well on the emotional side of the human being, as well as on the mental side. And I have given already in 1978, in my first book, the hierarchy of these levels, and also I established a definition of health concerning these levels. So there was actually a work which was coming out of observation, and nothing of what I had written was really a matter of imagination. It was pure observation on the sick. And as you said, I had a lot of opportunities to observe a lot of cases. And Roger Morrison was here, Bill Gray was here. They knew I had these big, huge clinics with a lot of medical doctors working with me. And I had the opportunity to see all their cases, etc. Out of all these observations came what I call later on the levels of health. My first hint about the levels of health was given already in 1978 in my book, The Science of Homeopathy. Later on in 85, 86, I gave much more about the levels of health in a book called A New Model for Health and Disease. And in 1995, I started a four-year course in Alonisos, and I decided to give all the information I had gathered so far concerning these levels of health. And this is the first time where I explain, in this course, four-year course, I explain all the conclusions in which I came after observing, I would say, more than 170,000 cases all these years. And the last book which I wrote, The Levels of Health, contain all this information of all these years in a such a way as to be able for the newcomer to homeopathy or even for the experienced homeopath to understand why, in a case, he gives a remedy and a cure happens in a serious condition, even in a cancer case, while other times he tries very hard, yet there is no such or similar effect. All these problems, all these questions were not answered before I had given the explanation in this four-year course. Now, this four-year course in which I gave all the information possible that I had gathered concerning materia medica, theory, case analysis, etc., all this information was recorded, and today we made available to the people this four-year course in a nutshell, edited in about 300 hours, which we make it available for anybody who wants to really study seriously homeopathy. So the e-learning, which we have presented since a few months already, we give it in a very good price, so as many people, they could benefit from the experience and the observations which I have gathered all these years. The book, Levels of Health, which was published last year, comes together with the course, as notes about the course, and the books also, The Science of Homeopathy and The New Model, are also books that they go together with this complete course in homeopathy. When I say complete, I do not mean that includes lessons on medical, purely medical subjects, like anatomy, physiology, clinical medicine, are not included. The people who want to practice, they can practice, but they have to have, at the same time, quite a good knowledge of medical subjects. So these medical subjects are not given in the course. Suppose that each one will take it from his own country or his own institutions. So I spoke quite a lot about that. Would you like to ask perhaps something else?
Yeah, actually, George, you know, in the book you describe four major groups and 12 levels. Can you, I'm sure many people on the call are probably familiar with this, but probably a number of them are not. Could you just give us a quick overview and understanding of the four groups and the 12 levels and how you would actually use this in practice?
Well, there are so many things that are said there that it is not possible in a nutshell to give everything. What I can say is that the human organism can be of an excellent health or on a very bad health. Between excellent health and very bad health, there are certain levels which are determined by certain parameters, each one of them. And each level needs to be handled by the homeopath in a different way. For instance, I'll give you an example. For instance, we say that the correct homeopathic remedy will give an initial aggravation, and this is a good sign. But this is valid for the higher levels of health, which means organisms with strong immune systems. They will react quite well and we will have an initial aggravation. And this is a very good sign, and we know after that the cure will come. But as we go down the levels of health, this reaction becomes less and less, and in the lower levels, there are no reactions anymore. In the lower levels, what we see is only an amelioration. That means that the suffering of the person may be ameliorated, but the disease will keep on progressing. So in the lower levels, when we do not see any kind of initial aggravation, we may have incurable, what we call incurable cases, which can only be ameliorated by a series of remedies, and usually such cases, they need frequent change in remedy. But this must not be confused with cases which belong really to the uppermost levels, but the homeopath cannot see the correct remedy and goes and gives close remedies or remedies that do not fit the organism's sensitivities. And in such cases, we can only see temporary amelioration of certain symptoms or a symptom shift from one side of the headache goes to the right side, from the left side goes to the right side. The arthritis from one knee, it goes to the hip joint, etc. And this is what happens when somebody is not well trained and does not know what is the correct remedy. It's very strange for me. I'll give you another example. It's very that proves that people have not studied really properly homeopathy, and yet they go ahead and practice it. A lot of people today, they think that to study the classical materia medica, Hahnemann, Schenck, etc. I don't want to mention my materia medica because it's just a little bit of my observation more. It contains all the classical symptomatology plus some of my observations. Okay. They don't want to study this, and yet they want to apply homeopathy. And of course, due to the failures, they try to find an easy way out, and they go to different kinds of what they call homeopathy, but it's not homeopathy really. And they do not realize that if they had sat down and studied properly, they could have fantastic results, like we had in Greece when I was teaching the doctors there, where we had only Kent's repertory, and we had only the materia medicas which were existing in the 60s and 70s by that time. And yet, the results were so impressive that people were flocking to find recovery, to find health. So actually, instead of people studying properly homeopathy, and after they learn everything, they may go ahead and study a little bit more of some peculiar remedies, etc., which actually have to be well proven before you can rely on them. Instead of doing this process, they go to the end, they find different so-called new remedies, etc., and they try to give it, and from time to time there is a cure, and they think, oh, that is something very important. But in homeopathy is a medical science which has to have results steady and high percentage success. A good homeopath should have from 70% onwards of his cases successes. And some good, excellent homeopaths can have 95 successes. We do not need more. We don't know yet all the remedies. Of course, there are millions of remedies that we have not proven, but the remedies already proven are more than enough to reach a 95% successes. So my effort at this moment is to offer to the homeopathic community this basic tool which will be enough for them, for those who study it properly, to apply it and see results. Otherwise, homeopathy will remain as a fringe healing method which can be criticized so badly as has been already criticized, especially in England and other countries as well.
Thanks, George. In your book, Levels of Health, you address the issue of acute diseases during chronic treatment.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that and how it relates to the levels of health?
This is another observation. Okay, I can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
You see, these are observations, of course, which are not concerning only homeopathy. Concerns medicine in general. What I had observed that if an organism is able to be producing, to bring about an acute condition with high fever, such organism in a much better condition than another organism who is not able to bring about an acute condition with high fever. When I say high fever, I mean 38.5 onwards. In Fahrenheit, I don't know how much it might be. This is maybe over 100 or 102, 103 Fahrenheit. So people who can have an acute after a stimulation from a virus or a bacteria or microbe, whatever, who they can react to this, they have a better immune system than those who they said, I never had an acute. This is something when you hear it, you are going to have a very difficult case in hand, a very difficult chronic cases. I have found, therefore, that the moment a chronic condition starts, a deep chronic condition starts, the possibility of an acute disease is eliminated. I have seen even malignant high blood pressure. Once it starts, then the person never again gets an acute condition with high fever. I have noticed again and again that the moment a deep chronic degenerative condition starts, the organism is busy with a subacute inflammation which is going on all the time. This is something else also that I have said, that all chronic degenerative conditions are inflammatory processes. The moment that a chronic inflammatory process starts, that moment the organism is busy, seems to be busy with trying to recover the organism, try to bring back health to the organism, and therefore, never mind how many viruses comes into contact with many bacteria, microbes, there is no reaction of such an organism. the organism seems to be producing substances, I don't know what kind, what type, which are not allowing viruses or fungus or microbes to thrive on such an organism. This is a phenomenon which I had observed, of course, since many, many years, and I have spoken about, and later years, I see a lot of research confirming this observation of mine. And all these things are explained in the levels of health, and especially what is explained is that the homeopath can understand why a patient of his is reacting in this way or another way, and how he could foresee what is going to happen with such an organism he's dealing with, whether he has given the right remedy or whether he has given a close remedy but not the exact. He will be able to understand why a person comes back again and again with either a relapse or a changed totality of symptoms, and what to do and how to handle them. I don't know how people practice homeopathy without this information. And I am amazed that homeopathy still exists if it is practiced in such a superficial way. And it's not going to exist for very long if we continue to be superficial and not to be serious about the study of such a subject. Also, I must say also that in my experience, and since I have taught thousands and thousands of people, I must say this kind of homeopathy is difficult to master. That is true. But at the same time, to say just because it is difficult to master, I will not study, oh, it's an old homeopathy, or it is this, different excuses. Now, what I am intuitive, and I can intuitively see the remedy, and I do not need a repertory, I do not need to study. And this is all nonsense. This is not only nonsense, it is also very dangerous. You see, if one says, I will sleep and I find in my sleep the remedy, it is dangerous. If somebody says, I will meditate and I will send you the remedy by mental meditation. If you say, I will meditate and in my meditation I will find the remedy. Oh, this is nonsense. And I hear that such things are said and are taught in schools, supposed to be school of homeopathy. There's no school of homeopathy, of course. And I'm very sorry that the attack by the so-called enemies of homeopathy is so vicious. But I'm sorry to say also that they are justified. If people say, I hear people say that we found a song that if it is played, then it will cure AIDS. If people, they say that we do not need the vaccinations because we have our own vaccinations. And I will give you a remedy that will protect you in case the epidemic comes. All this is nonsense. We cannot say these things. There are no prophylaxis, homeoprophylaxis, in the way it's understood by the common people and the conventional medicine. Okay. Conventional medicine gives vaccinations. The vaccinations have side effects. There is no question about that. But they have the result which they claim they will have. If I give you the vaccination, I will protect you from this or that epidemic. The fact, perhaps, that this protection it is at the cost of the general state of health is another story. But when they say the vaccination will protect you, the vaccination will protect you to a great extent, to a great degree, to a great percentage. We cannot say, I will give you this or that remedy, thuya, for protect you with smallpox. It's crazy. Because homeopathy is, the homeopathic remedy is indicated if the symptoms are there. If the symptoms are not there, what remedy to give? And for what reason? I'm sorry, I speak a little bit...
No, George, it's always nice to have your candor. George, one of the other issues that you bring up in levels of health is potency and dose and repetition. Can you comment a little bit about how this relates to the levels of health?
I'll tell you, first of all, I use remedies from 6x, even lower, to cm, to 100,000. Okay, I use all the potencies. The second, I use remedies which are very seldom indicated. That is true also, and I use the whole range. I do not use only the big remedies, the polycress, okay? Now, the potency, how high it can be, a general rule is the better the state, the general state of health, that means the uppermost levels, they accept high to very high potencies. As the organisms are going lower and lower in health states, need lower and lower potencies. That means in an organism who is in the last stages of cancer, who is exhausted and with pains, etc., you do not go and give 1M and 10M, etc. You will give low potencies, 6X, 7X, 8X, 9X. People with AIDS, if you want to help in the last stages, very low potencies and repeated constantly, 3 times, 4 times, 5 times a day. You see, there are so many different situations. You see, I have found myself being involved in intensive unit care with cases that have been given up in the intensive unit care. That means the last stages of life. people were practically dying. And in such cases, when you prescribe and you have the correct remedy, you have to prescribe it every half an hour. So it's in a very acute state, for instance, with cases. I will give you another information, which is my experience. You know, the H1N1 virus, okay? Do you understand?
Yeah.
This epidemic, which has come, or they made a lot of noise about it. Anyhow, this particular epidemic hit strikes mostly people with diabetes. Diabetic people are the most prone to get it very seriously. Most of other people are not so dangerous unless there is a tendency, fat children, you know, with a tendency to diabetes. They can get it very severe, where pneumonia develops from one moment to another. In such cases, you have to give the remedy in case there is really a young organism who is affected. You have to give it in a medium potency, like 200 or 1 ml at the most, but repeatedly, every half an hour. I just gave this example because it may happen in certain of the homeopaths to meet with such severe cases. And they end up in the hospital, of course, such cases. And in the hospital, they are given up. By the time they are given up, there is an opportunity for us to intervene because they are desperate. They don't know what to do. The relatives are feeling they are losing one member of their family. So they will try to find anything. And in such cases have come to my attention and I treated. And by God's grace, I was successful, of course, but because you know what would happen if we treated somebody and somebody has died under homeopathic treatment. But all this experience is given in this e-learning program, and all this experience is given in my three books, The Levels of Health, The Science of Homeopathy, and The New Dimension of Health and Disease. So I would like to take some questions from people.
I think that's a good idea, George. Before I open up the lines, let me just mention again that Professor Vitolkis will be giving a presentation by webcast, live webcast, at the Joint American Homeopathic Conference on April 8th through the 10th in Alexandria, Virginia. He'll also be having a keynote video presentation at the AVH conference coming up in May 4th through the 8th in Bethesda, Maryland. And, of course, if people want to get more information about George's courses, studying with him at Alanisos, or they want to get information about his e-learning program, they can visit the Whole Health Now website, and that's wholehealthnow.com/Vitolkis. George, thank you again. Let me open up.
I want to add also something which is very soon in Toronto. One of my better students who is teaching also in the academy,
yes.
George Kavouras, is giving a course, and he is going to talk about the levels of health in a much much broader way, because he will have much more hours, of course, to teach. And he will be giving this course, and people who are interested, they can attend it.
Yes, and I think that's being conducted through Riverdale Books. Actually, I interviewed Yorgos Kavouras last week, and he did a very excellent presentation of explaining your levels of health in the various groups. So let me go ahead now and open up the lines. Are there any questions for Professor Vitolkas?
Yes. Hello.
Anybody got a question? Golden opportunity.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
This is Howard Fine.
Go ahead.
Hello, George.
Hello.
Hi, this is Howard Fine.
Hey, Howard, nice to hear your voice. Go ahead and ask your question.
George, are you familiar with Dr. Vijayakar's theory about suppression using the basic embryological development of the organism as a way of understanding Herring's law?
Yes. I mentioned this in my book, The Science of Homeopathy. And, hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
In my book, The Science of Homeopathy, I have given the basics of this embryological development, which, as an idea, could explain the form of the different transformation of diseases as they take place. For instance, diseases on the skin could be transferred to the lungs or to the brain. I mean, and I had given the basics in my book, The Science of Homeopathy.
Great.
That is true.
Fantastic. Howard, thanks for that question. Other questions for Professor Vitolkas?
I have a question.
Yes, please go ahead.
This is Mary from Connecticut. I was interested to know that if you have diabetes, you have much more an acute case of the H1N1 virus. Have you heard, Dr. Vitolkas, of getting diabetes from a virus? I mean, the other way around, having gotten the diabetes condition from a viral cold?
I'm sorry, but I can hardly hear you.
The question, George, was...
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah, I'll translate. The question, it was hard to hear her question, but her question was, have you heard... you were talking about the H1N1 virus as it relates to diabetes, and her question was, have you heard if you can actually acquire diabetes from some type of viral infection?
No, not that I know of any viral infection causing diabetes, but I said people with diabetes mellitus or people prone to diabetic diathesis may get affected quite severely by the H1N1 virus.
Great. Thanks for clarifying that. Other questions for Professor Vitolkas?
Can I ask a question on the vaccinations?
Please go ahead. What's your name?
Alan.
Alan, go ahead, Alan.
Yeah. Do you think people are over-vaccinated today? And do you think that any remedies should be taken prior to a vaccination to avoid a side effect?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And absolutely, they are over-vaccinated. There's no question about that. The organism... must be in a total confusion to have 10, 12, or to even more vaccinations in a very short period of time. That causes a confusion in the organism, and also it causes a kind of triggering of chronic conditions. I believe we should be rethinking the idea of vaccinations, because I believe there are people already in the West who could never be affected by the epidemics, by a lot of the epidemics. So whether you vaccinate them or not, they will not get the epidemics because they are already quite sick, as I said before. They're sick. When somebody has deep depression, is sick and cannot get an infection. When somebody has a heart condition, is quite sick. When somebody has a deep mental problem, cannot get an infection. If we categorize the people who do not need vaccination, who do not need to take vaccinations that will further deteriorate their organism. It's a pity that these things are not investigated properly. You see, they usually, I see that the usual conventional medicine takes a long time to come to conclusions which we had 30 or 40 years ago ourselves. They are very slow in catching up with these ideas. Vaccinations are too many, are unnecessary, and definitely will minimize the health of the people, not optimize.
George, there was a second part to that question, which was, do you feel that people should take remedies beforehand to prevent the negative effects of the vaccination?
I cannot hear you, sorry.
Yeah, there was a second part to to Alan's question where he said, do you feel that people should take remedies ahead of time to prevent the negative effects of the vaccination?
The problem, yes. The problem is that before the time, before vaccination, we don't know the after effects of vaccination. After effects of vaccination can be treated with homeopathy, but before we cannot, because we don't have any symptomatology to indicate what is the remedy. And we do not have remedies that could be prescribed routinely for before vaccination or after vaccination. The confusion which is caused by the organism after a lot of vaccinations, it is similar, for instance, to remedies like sepia, for instance. But you cannot say sepia will antidote all side effects of vaccinations. It will antidote some effects, but not all of them, because some others will develop alumina states. Some others will develop zinc cases. There are so many variations that we cannot have standards where we can imply to everyone. I want to tell another information from the homeopath who spoke about the endoderm, the mesoderm and exoderm.
Yeah.
It is on the Science of Homeopathy in page 54 and 55. 54 and 55 pages on the Science of Homeopathy. a book that was published in 1978.
Thank you, George.
Yes.
I see that we're out of time. George, again, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing from your incredibly vast experience treating literally hundreds of thousands of cases of homeopathy and supervising literally so many different medical doctors and homeopaths from around the world. For people who don't realize, George has been the person who has essentially created the resurgence of homeopathy in the 20th century. So everything else that I said about him really is just a footnote to the fact that he is the most important influence for the rediscovery of homeopathy during our times. I'm going to unmute the line. George,
the last information I can tell you that in July 17 to 21, there is here a seminar for levels of health in Alonissos, and in this Eric Van Wonsel will be teaching and myself, but I think it's already a full house and I am not sure that there will be places.
Thank you so much, George. I'm going to open up George Spatulkas, a big thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, George.
Bye-bye. George, have a good rest of your day. Thank you again. Thanks, everyone.